You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyChronicles.com, and on today's episode, we will start digesting another discouraging loss, this time a 125-107L to the Bucks up in Milwaukee, and we'll take a look at where the problems arose and where the Pacers fell fatally behind, and also look at some of the numbers and observations of individual play, which wasn't all bad, but certainly wasn't good enough. So the show is presented today by SeatGeek and their fantastic SeatGeek app. You can enter a promo code LOPACERS and get $20 off your first ticket purchase by using the app, so please do so. And don't forget, you can hit me up with any comments or questions via email at IndyChronicles@gmail.com and on Twitter at IndyChronicles. And there are plenty of questions following this game, if not just lots of expletives to express grief over how this game was played. There were some good play in the first half. Pacers started out just fine. Didn't have that big lull in the second quarter as they have, although they did drop behind a little bit at the half, but everything fell apart in the third quarter with really two bad stretches in the first 5 minutes, which sunk the Pacers and put them down by double digits, and they made one little run, but really were never able to recover, and that's mainly because they couldn't get any stops. But there was a stretch right after the half. They are down by six at the half and come out and run a great play, get Miles Turner on the first possession, a little 20-footer that he drops, pulls the Pacers within four. And then from there, they go down, get a stop, and right after the stop, Thad Young outlet to Jeff Teague, but he just threw it off Teague's foot, out of bounds, turnover. So what happens, of course, Bucks get the ball back, and Jabari Parker hits a three. So you get that bucket, stop, let's get some momentum, nope, turnover, three, and now you're back down more than you were. So then they come back down. Nice pass into Miles Turner in the paint, but he's not in a position where he's comfortable. Rushes it, jumbles his feet, turnover. They able to get a stop. Teague gets the ball after stealing it, but then he travels. Bucks get it back, and again, Jabari Parker, recurring theme between he and Giannis Antetokounmpo in this game, but this time Parker dunked, and now the lead's pushed out to 10, so to 9, and then at that point, Pacers got a bucket, Paul George, so they're down 7, and then they go the next 4 minutes without, the next 3 minutes without scoring a bucket, and that has plenty of missed shots, and unfortunately, when the Bucks took missed shots or turnovers, they were flipping them into points and quite often at the paint. So it wasn't until about the 7 minute mark when Paul George hit a 3-pointer and stopped the run by the Bucks. But from there on, it was, whenever the Pacers could score and then they get a stop, they weren't able to mount any a rally and get anything going to cut into that lead. And it seemed like whenever they did get a bucket and a stop and get another bucket, Bucks would hit a three and wipe it out or go on a run of with several buckets. So that first 5 minutes of the third quarter was where the game really was put in jeopardy and was going to require the Pacers to dig out. And on this night, look at the score, 125-107. The Bucks were around a field goal efficiency percentage of around 65% throughout the game. So they, stayed hot throughout the game. The Pacers were up and down in the first half. They shot, their field goal efficiency was around 62%. And in the second half, it dipped down to 45%. Just too many jumbled passes, discombobulated possessions, and really a lot of seemingly unfamiliarity out there still on the court. And it's something that is continually raised, you know, with the new faces, new coach, new system. But, you know, it's getting old, quite frankly. These guys are pros, and somehow they're not even able to get in position to make plays when they need to. So, real big frustrating game from Milwaukee. I know after the game, Nate McMillan didn't have anything good to say, quite frankly, and mentioned that, you know, Parker and Antetokounmpo were, you know, along, and they're just a dynamic duo out there, those young guys. And he said that, you know, together they just dominated the game, and he felt like his team never had control of the play or of the game at all, even early. Just that turnovers and sloppy play on defense never let them establish the game they want to play. They were never able to get their pace of play set and how they want to play set. And on defense, mentioned that they didn't disrupt the Bucks' offense at all, whether it was inside, mid-range, or at the three-point line. So he's frustrated. I'm sure the players are all frustrated. And they're coming home with a 2-3 record to play the Bulls on Saturday evening. And we know that will be a challenge after the rough Saturday the Pacers had up in Chicago last week. But if you want to get to the game, make sure you check out SeatGeek to get your tickets, because, you know, the NBA season is back, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the game you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being at the game for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house. Wherever you want to sit, whether that's courtside, club seats, or upper level. Now, I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's always easy to pop it open and check on the ticket prices for upcoming games. I'm tapping on it right now, pulling up the Bulls and Pacers, and let's see what we have for Saturday. Always look for those big green spots. Those are the best deals. You can get download courtside, or not courtside, but download lower level for $111, behind the hoop for $59, and upper deck, you can get in for $20. So there's some good seats at good prices depending upon what you want to pay. And with SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending upon where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. Hence, look for the big green dots when you open up the app. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. And best of all, for my listeners, get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. To get the $20 rebate, download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add a Promo Code. Enter promo code LOPACERS, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you made your first ticket purchase. So, download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LOPACERS today. Okay, so we kind of went through the key stretch of the game where the Pacers lost it in the third quarter. They did make a run in the middle of the fourth quarter with a group that included Aaron Brooks making some plays and cut the lead down to 7. But that lead quickly went up to 14. After a timeout, the Bucks were able to put a 7-0 run on the Pacers in a hurry after a couple of turnovers and transition buckets. That's just how it went for the night. Getting back into some individual play or highlights or lowlights, depending upon what we're talking about here. But right out of the gate, Jeff Teague looked like he may have a statement game in him. He opened with a 3-pointer, scored the first 5 points of the game, and had a little bit of swagger in his step, but That statement went back into question mark mode by the end of the game. And he finished the game with 16 points and 6 assists, but also had 4 turnovers and really struggled to get things going when the Pacers started falling behind. And it's just, again, another frustrating outing. Fatigue, not as bad as it had been. 4 of 11, I guess, is an upgrade. And he made a 3-pointer, as I said, which is a bonus. But, at this point, we're looking for a big bust-out game from Teague, which would help this team immensely. They need a bust-out from someone other than Paul George, and really haven't had that other than Miles Turner on opening night. So, speaking of Turner, he had some good, bad, and ugly in this game. Again, he was battling with foul trouble and only played 24 minutes, but he was able to score 15 points, but only had 2 rebounds and no block shots. So he was definitely neutralized. And one thing that you notice in this game, the Bucks were long, and their big guys seemed to be always present around the rim. And Turner had a little bit of trouble when he got the ball down low on the post. His quickness is a great asset, especially when he's on the perimeter and get that shot off quick. But there's times when he's moving too quick and he needs to slow down, gather himself, and then use that quickness and athletic ability. But it seems like when he gets the ball, he wants to go into something right away. And when he's not in a good spot to make a move, or his initial thought is stymied and he has to counter, he struggles. And we saw that a couple times. I mentioned the travel call. Paul George had slung a sweet pass through the lane. May have caught him by surprise that it got to him, but he just wasn't ready to do anything with it and was trying to be quick. And he got ahead of himself and couldn't get anything done with the ball. So that's our 20-year-old big man. So that is why we always got to keep those expectations in check with him as far as having a huge impact on the Pacers this year. I mentioned the Bucks' length. It was evident all throughout the game. They have Giannis Antetokounmpo is long on long. And, honestly, when he gets a step and takes him 2 steps from 3-point line to get up in the air and be ready to dunk, quite frankly, I don't know why he doesn't just do it every time, because once he gets up in the air, he's so high, there's really nothing you can do to stop him. So that length was huge, but it's not just Antetokounmpo. I mean, Brogdon has got length. Parker, Greg Monroe is big out there. Tony Snell has, those guys all have great wingspan, and the number of deflections was huge. It seemed like they were disrupting the passing lanes all night, and even when the Pacers were, moving a little bit and trying to move the ball in the half court, quite often the ball was tapped either on the dribble or on the pass, and it really kept the Pacers out of sync. And that length is something that the Pacers enjoyed for a few years with Roy Hibbert and David West and George Hill and Lance Stevenson. That group, one of their great attributes was all the length those guys had with their wingspan. And the Bucks are making that group look stubby, I think. the thing is, they also have John Henson, who's really long and wasn't a factor tonight. And the rookie, Thon Maker, who just came out late in the game and got a couple of garbage time 3-pointers that were like dumping salt in the wound. But he's long too. I mean, jeez. They could have him playing the 2-guard and Giannis at point guard in a few years, which would be ridiculous. So, anyways, the Bucks can be a matchup problem with that size, but Pacers have ways that they can get an advantage on other teams, including a team like the Bucks, and they weren't able to impose that style of play at all in Milwaukee. So another issue mentioned probably 5 times already, turnovers. Teague had 4, Brooks had 5. So, you know, the point guards, the key guys, taking care of the ball, had 9 turnovers. Paul George added 6 more. So those are your main ball handlers. I guess throw in Monte in there. So props to Monte. He only had 1 turnover. So, but that's just obviously too many from the key guys who are trying to take care of the ball and set up the offense. Paul George had a spectacular defensive play in the first quarter where he just not only blocked Greg Monroe, but just swiped the ball off the top of his head, basically, and started heading down the other way with numbers, but he just fired a one-handed, full cross-court pass to Teague that was too far behind him and went out of bounds. So, again, whenever the Pacers got a stop and then had a turnover, it was just grueling to watch. And so many times when the Bucks got their stops and or turnovers, they were dunking on the Pacers at the other end. The Bucks also had their turnover problems with 22 turnovers, and they gave up 26 points. But the Pacers had 21 turnovers, gave up 34 points, and it wasn't pretty. If you look throughout the game, if you look at the shot chart, both teams had around, I think they had both had 81 shots, and 40 of the Pacers' shots were at the rim, and they made 20, while the Bucks had 41 shots at the rim and made 31 of them. And I'd be hard-pressed to not think that, you know, at least 15 to 20 of those were dunks. So there were even a couple times where I thought they could have gotten in a dunk and they kicked it out for a perimeter shot. But the Bucks pretty much had their way when they were taking care of the ball. And that's probably their biggest issue, is going to be handling some pressure and ball handling with Antetokounmpo and Parker doing a lot of the making a lot of the big plays. Those guys are real active. They like to get on the move and get in the air, and it isn't always a great finish, but they are two dynamic players that are going to be a problem for quite a few years. There's no doubt. Parker finished with 27 points and 8 rebounds and made 4 threes, and Antetokounmpo had 27 points himself with 9 assists and 7 rebounds. So they were making things go, and I don't know how many games the Bucks are going to win this year, but they are going to be entertaining to watch, that's for sure. So all that link, along with creating issues in the passing lanes, also was big on the rebounding numbers, which the Bucks had a rebound average of 41 to 31, so plus 10. Like I mentioned before, Miles Turner only had 2 rebounds. Al Jefferson had 7, but nobody else had more than 4. So it was a struggle on the glass, and that didn't give the Pacers much margin for error on offense when they were only able to grab 10 offensive rebounds. So some other quick notes. C.J. Miles remained assertive and played well off the bench. He ended up with 19 points, made a couple three-pointers, had 3 steals as well, and he was part of that run in the fourth quarter that helped the Pacers knock the lead down, and continues to be a valuable piece off the bench. I don't know how McMillan's going to continue to mix and match lineups or when, you know, we're only 5 games in, when he makes a more drastic move and tries to alter the starting lineup. It just seems like Teague and Ellis aren't going to be able to work real efficiently together for whatever reason. I know that at one point, after Brooks had a good run, Monte was in there kind of running the point while Teague was still out. And Monte had a good portion of that run to get back in the game in the fourth as well. But he, as we know very well, isn't a guy who's going to be your lead point guard for sure. And then alongside with Teague, it just doesn't seem like a good match. Obviously, maybe Miles would be better. As far as the rotation players, Glenn Robinson III did get an early look in the rotation, playing in the second quarter, against the Lakers. He didn't play. Kevin Seraphin filled in that 10th man spot. But Robinson, again, struggled. He wasn't able to get any shots up, and he really, I think the reason they brought him out there is because of with some active guys like Parker playing that kind of a forward wing, power forward, along with Antetokounmpo. They wanted more of a wing defender out there, and there was one play in particular where Robinson simply lost his man and just left a wide-open dunk for Jabari Parker. And he didn't last long on the court after that, and then didn't play any meaningful minutes again. So those opportunities are going to start drying up for Robinson if he doesn't start taking advantage of it. And one thing is basic ball man defense. Know where, where the ball is, know where your man is, and Robinson lost track of his man big time on that one. So what other good news is there from this game? There isn't much, so we'll stick with C.J. Miles as he had, you know, a big game off the bench, and, you know, Thaddeus Young, again, seems like plays really well in the first quarter and then kind of fades away into the background, you know, a lot of the times in the second half, and he finished with 9 points and 4 rebounds. He can be a versatile guy out there. He does a lot of things right, but he doesn't seem to rise up and make big play or something out of the ordinary happen. And the Pacers really need somebody, anybody other than Paul George to do that. And PG didn't have his best game tonight. Without a doubt, he scored 23 points, but he needed 20 shots. Again, he had 6 turnovers. Did make 4 of 8 3-pointers, but I am sure his frustration will be bubbling over in the locker room, on the way home, practice tomorrow, as they get ready to play the Bulls. And that's about all there is to say about this loss. So thank you for listening. Please, love to hear your thoughts on the game. Or player rotations, anything you want. So you can reach me via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. Also, big thanks again to SeatGeek. Remember to download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LOPACERS for a $20 rebate on your first ticket purchase. Easy purchase and easy money for you. So don't forget you can find the podcast on audioboom.com. Also, subscribe on iTunes, and as well as Stitcher and TuneIn Radio and Google Play, so you can hear all prior episodes as well, so check them out. And that will be a wrap for today. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You got it.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa auto parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.